Welcome back to the What's Up ABQ podcast. I'll bet that sometime today you've used a camera to take a photo or two. But today's guest explains why good photography...
Well, it's not a matter of picking up your phone and going snap.
Plus, when you move from one of the largest metropolises in the world to a small town in the forests of New Mexico, what not to do if you suspect a bear is right outside your front door.
He was naked when he did it!
Yeah. And stick around until the end to enter our giveaway from today's guest. Thanks for joining Lindsay and Lorenzo for today's What's Up ABQ.
Hey Albuquerque, this is Lindsay.
This is Lorenzo.
And this is What's Up ABQ.
What's up Albuquerque, this is Lorenzo.
And this is Lindsay, and today we have with us...
Chip Greenberg.
So Chip, you are here, you are a photographer, which is, I love interviewing photographers because yes, we talk about photography, but there's so many other things that go into it. Tell us a little bit about your photography and how you got started specifically photographing New Mexico, because that's kind of the caveat here. I want to hear a little bit about that.
Been a photographer for a very long time, just about 55 years. And I'll tell you a little story about how I got started and we'll move to New Mexico. I was 13 years old and I wanted a mini bike in the worst way you can imagine. You guys know what a mini bike is? No, they're not really popular anymore. Figure a really primitive frame with a big-ass lawnmower engine strapped on it, and away you go as a little kid. And I had my eye on one, and I had paper out, and I was saving my money, and I was ready to go. Mm-hmm. My dad, who I probably didn't give enough credit at the time, Dad, you know, he knew I was either going to kill myself or... worse, maim myself for life, and they were going to have to take care of me.
Right.
So he got me interested in this camera, and this Contax was one of Dad's prized possessions. It's made by a company called Zeiss, and they and Leica were and are the premier optical companies out of Germany. Mm. And I wasn't really interested in photography. Dad got me interested in using his contacts. I became very interested in photography. Ended up going to a prominent photography school, met my lovely wife there, photographed outside New York City for Fortune 100 companies, and all of that because I wanted a mini bike.
Wow. So this camera that you brought, I thought I saw Canon on it. Is that
Contax?
Contax. Okay. Yeah.
And Zeiss got out of the camera business in the 70s. This was made in the mid-50s.
Okay.
So now, is this your first camera?
That was my first camera.
Okay. Yeah. So do you have like a, I don't know, I'm not well-versed in the world of photography, but do you have like a top three type camera selection, like top three cameras that you would love to work with or that you do love to work with?
Well, I kind of work with what I love to work with now. And I really hardly ever use this for a number of reasons that are probably too photographic to get into, but I carry it in case I see something I like. Yeah. I will talk a little bit about how being a commercial studio photographer influenced my work today, but I'm not the photographer that just walks around with a camera and takes pictures of things that catch my interest. I'm very deliberate. Mm-hmm. But that's the camera I take when I think, I should have a camera over my shoulder in case I see something.
Right. But it's your first camera and you still occasionally use it.
Yep. Huh?
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. No, yeah. I think that's really cool. So you had mentioned that you used to work for a bunch of Fortune 500 companies and corporations in New York City, outside New York City. So how did that kind of get started and what transitioned you from that to getting here into New Mexico?
Well,
it's a really
big jump. So after school, and no one really told you in college that, you know, when you go to I went to Rochester Institute of Technology, which is one of the more prominent photography schools, and you don't need to go to college to be a photographer, and I've had lots of interesting debates with colleagues about the pros and cons. But it was good for me. Mm-hmm. But after college, I went and worked for a bunch of really talented people in New York City on major stuff only in New York City. I had one guy, Ed, I worked with, and at least once a month, Ed and I photographed a Time magazine cover. I mean, this is stuff that only happens in New York. And but what they didn't tell you when you were going to college is you're going to make no money and be living on ramen noodles and saltines for another 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Starving artist situation.
Yeah. But I got very good background working for some really talented people in New York and decided to open my own studio in Central New Jersey near where we lived.
Wow.
And, you know, there were a lot of companies there that kept us all busy. I mean, Siemens Medical, Con Air, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and lots of great customers that were not household names. Mm-hmm. But it gave me a really, very much affected the way I work today. I guess I'll talk about that for a minute, and then we can get back to New Mexico.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So as a studio photographer, a quick shot would be 1 to 2 hours, and a complicated shot would take us 1 to 2 days. Mm. So, I mean, people don't really realize that, but, you know, it's not a matter of picking up your phone and going snap.
Right.
So, you know, I became very deliberate in my habits and, you know, very measured and very careful with composition and things like that. Definitely affects the way I work today. I'm very deliberate with light, and light's a big part of my work.
Yeah.
And in the studio, I'd make my own light, but out here in New Mexico, we have enchanted light.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, but that still follows through. I'm very careful about the light in my photograph. But at some point, my wife and I decided we really didn't want to grow old in New Jersey. And now that New Jersey gets a bad rap, it's a gorgeous state.
Yeah.
Really, they all are. We decided we wanted to live somewhere else where we could have some land, milder winter than the Northeast. And we started looking south and west. And honestly, we got to New Mexico and we said, this is the place.
Ah, it's wonderful.
It's amazing to me how people end up here. And you came here, obviously, before, you know, you could do internet research and get all the information online. So was there a certain thing that made you go, like, yes, New Mexico is for me?
A lot of things. New Mexico is an amazing place, right? We have our problems, but, you know, we have a temperate climate, certainly compared to the Northeast. I mean, there's an amazing melding of cultures here. I mean, you know, Hispanic and Native, and, you know, the zip code with the highest IQ in the nation is Los Alamos.
Yes.
And if you like the outdoors, which my wife and I do, it's an amazing place to be outdoors between geography and archaeological finds. And, you know, so all of that appealed to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you ended up, you live kind of by Cloudcroft.
Yes.
So, and I've been there. I love Cloudcroft. That's one of my favorite places.
Yeah.
And I actually heard yesterday they had a fire, so I'm hoping everybody's okay. But yeah, it's a beautiful area. Now, how did you figure out, okay, Cloudcroft is where we're going to be, and how did you find a place to rent? Because I know that that can be kind of interesting in New Mexico. It's always a different set of challenges maybe than other places.
A lot of challenges. So once we got here and said, okay, we don't need to go west anymore, we're staying in New Mexico, we take vacations typically around the holidays. My studio was slow around the holidays. And we'd come out and we explored the state. The southern mountains have typically a milder winter, certainly than the northern mountains and probably the northern part of the state. You know, beautiful. It's very green.
Yeah. Okay.
Where I am, especially in the summer, after it's rained, it looks like Ireland. It's that green.
Yeah.
You know, temperate climate. And it was, you know, we decided on the southern part of the state. So we did a lot of homework through the phone and mail, and ended up finding a very type A realtor who was in the area outside Cloudcroft. We ended up working with, who helped find us a rental home from a woman named Cordelia Lewis, who back in the day, where I live, used to be a much bigger logging community. Cordelia supplied the adult entertainment to the logging industry. And she had employees. She's an entrepreneur.
Business is business.
I don't know that she personally supplied the service, but had employees that did it. But her house, which is still there, built very solidly, was cordoned off into lots of little tiny rooms. And Cordelia was something. She was really something. She was, I guess, 95 or so when we moved there and rented from her. And I know she turned 100. She lived to be about 101 or 102. And at 100, she was living by herself and making her own fire to stay warm in the winter. And,
I hope I can be doing that when I'm 101.
Right?
Yeah.
I hope I make it to 101.
She was, you know, if you get behind her, if you're going to town, you got behind Cordelia on one of these little country roads you can't pass, you're in for a very long drive to town.
Yeah.
But she was really something. We ended up renting from Cordelia, and she could look at a guy and size you up in like a New York nanosecond.
Oh, really?
Because she's seen it all, and she was on it. But we decided to rent for a while, look around, but ended up liking where we were and stayed there.
Nice. Well, I had some more, I guess, technical questions about the photography. Okay. So you spend a lot of time, obviously, photographing the Northeast, and you have a lot more population, a lot more buildings, and not as many vistas, and the light's different. How did you transition from your academic background and your art form in New York to New Mexico, which is a different kind of game? Like, how was that transition for you and learning it?
It was hard, actually, for a lot of reasons. So the difference between shooting for a client and shooting for yourself took me a long time to get used to. It took me a long time to find my voice after I gave up my commercial studio. You know, the environment and everything was very different, but, you know, New Mexico has attracted generations of visual artists, right? And I think in part it's because our light is unique.
So we were talking a little bit about the process moving from a big kind of corporate situation in terms of photography to a more rural environment. And obviously, I'm sure your subject matter changed quite a bit when you got to New Mexico. How did you sort of decide on the subject matter that you wanted to shoot here? And how did you sort of find your voice once you got to New Mexico?
Well, I actually started out shooting landscapes here. I'm not a great landscape photographer, but they're just so amazing, nobody can help themselves. So I plodded along doing that for a while and realized the light here is so much different from the Northeast and so incredible. I started photographing things that are just everyday objects. I mean, a chair, a tree, a wheelbarrow, a window, but New Mexico's light transforms them into something magical. So really my first project, and I like shooting in projects or mm-hmm. series. You know, I don't just walk around and take whatever catches my eye. I'm very deliberate. So my first series really was Ordinary Things. Mm-hmm. And I call it that because I was in the photo gallery that's in Old Town, mm-hmm. Which has some pretty amazing stuff. Mm-hmm. And young woman who was working there comes up to me. I have a camera over my shoulder. And she goes, "Oh, you're a photographer. What do you shoot?" And I really have to think about it for a minute. It, right? Yeah, and I go, Well, I said, I guess I shoot, you know, ordinary things in extraordinary light. So I started out with that, Ordinary Things project, really, which is just how New Mexico's amazing light transforms everyday things into something beautiful. And I've honestly had a number of people come up to me at shows and things and say, "Oh, you know, you photograph the stuff we walk by every day and make it look great." So so that was kind of my first series of first project that took me away from being a commercial photographer and kind of just shooting the gorgeous landscapes and moving on to something that I felt was mine.
Right. So I think that kind of was the idea that I was thinking as I was going through your book, which is Chasing Serenity. Lindsay and I, we like to travel all over the state. And a lot of times we'll see some ruins of a shack or something. We're like, that is really cool. And like a lot of people you think would just like pass by it. But when you go and get out of your car and go examine it a little bit more, you can see the details and you can kind of wonder about the background and the story. And some of your pictures in this book that you gave to us kind of reminded me of that. And I enjoyed it that you kind of photographed the ordinary things that people would typically just pass up. So,
well, I think too, and this is just from my perspective, not having grown up here necessarily, I think coming from other places, you see New Mexico and you go, "Oh my gosh, this is so different from what I'm used to." And so the things that maybe people, you know, growing up here or who have been here for a long time take for granted, you have that different perspective of like, this is really artistic, or not everybody sees this every day. I should take a picture of this. This is definitely something extraordinary for people that aren't used to it. And I know I feel that way once, like, we'll travel somewhere and then come back and it's like that perspective is there again. And it's like, oh yeah, it's like a refreshed perspective. It's like, oh yeah, New Mexico. I forgot that we are so different from everybody else. But I like how you talk about light, because I really do feel like the entire entire state is just one giant golden hour. It really is.
Yeah.
And in a lot of your pictures, and again, it's a podcast, I can't show you the pictures, but we will post links to the book and to some of his work so you can see for yourself. This is one of my favorites, and it's a picture you took in Lordsburg. And it's called Classic Sunrise, Lordsburg, New Mexico. This is the kind of thing I'm talking about. You know, it's a very simple picture of, you know, an old gas station, Phillips Station, and it's got an old Mustang out front. But it's the light that makes this picture in this moment so uniquely New Mexican, which I love.
I really appreciate that. And that's one of my favorite images, too. I was out there last week, and the Mustang's still sitting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't photograph it again. But I got out there to Lordsburg when I shot that late in the afternoon, and I was looking around, and I've did some photography that afternoon, but I saw that location, and I said, "Well, this is amazing, and it's going to be perfect at sunrise." Mm-hmm. And luckily, I was staying there, and I could tell the sun was going to come up somewhere on the left-hand side of my image. Mm-hmm. So I was back out there as the sun came up the next morning. I gauged that properly, and the sun raked across this old gas station in Mustang, and I was able to get an image that a couple of years ago was the only film image that won an award at the New Mexico Photographic Arts Show.
Wow.
Oh my God.
So how much of your work would you say is, I mean, that sounds like, I mean, you've put a lot of thought into that one shot. How much of your work is planning and doing this and that versus maybe sometimes you just get lucky and you get that shot? Like, does that happen or how does that work?
Like I said, I'm pretty deliberate. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was possibly a little more planning than often goes in, but a lot of times I go to some place and I go, the lights, I'm passing by a falling down building that looks very photogenic. Yeah. And I'm like, this is really amazing, you know, but the light's going to be really nice in 6 hours and I'm not going to be here. And I had to make a little note and come back. And I've got places I've been back to, I have to go back to 3 times, 4 times, 5 times before I get what I want.
So you're always scouting for a spot.
Right. And it may not get the photograph that time. I'm not very prolific. Mm-hmm. But Ansel Adams said, allegedly, if you get 10 good portfolio pieces a year, you're doing very well. And he shot a lot more than me and is a lot more talented than I am. And if he's happy with 10 a year, that's great. Now, that 10 number's debatable. His assistant, Alan, actually lives in Santa Fe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I asked Alan, so I read on the internet, Ansel Adams says you get 10 shots a year. And he was kind of smug about it and smiled. And the quote is good, but he won't give me an exact number. So he was a little coy about that, Alan. But, you know, I'm more of that type of shooter. If I get 10 images I'm happy to put on my website in a year, I think I'm doing pretty good and I'm happy.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a certain area of New Mexico, a certain place that you love to go back to that just kind of, you know, you're like, I'm going to come back here several times. This is the spot I want to make sure I get a lot of pictures of. Or do you just kind of freelance and decide as you're going?
So I usually pick a spot and, you know, it is the journey as much as the destination. So, I went to Lordsburg last week. I ended up shooting in Deming and outside Deming and didn't take anything in Lordsburg. I'm usually in the southern part of the state more than the north just because I live there and this is a big state.
Yeah.
And,
lots of open space.
Been to Taos. It's pretty far. I'd like to get back up north more than I do. Yeah. But I will say Route 60 really is a fascinating road. I've got an image in my book from Yeso of a house
I don't even know where that is. And I was like, I've never even heard of this place. Yeah.
Route 60, I say, is kind of like Route 66's more interesting, less known cousin.
Interesting.
And now we're going to take a road trip.
Yeah, I highly recommend it.
Oh, we love traveling the state, so this is something.
I like road trips just for the sake of road trips. So, but if I can get some good pictures along the way, then great. You know?
Route 60 is great. And
so what's the route of Route 60? What cities does it connect?
I know you can pick it up, I think, outside near Clovis. I know it goes to Magdalena. Mm-hmm. So across the state that way, it goes south, east, west.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
The railroad used to go through there. So like Yeso used to be a railroad town where steam engines could fill up on water. Mm-hmm. And once the steam engines went away, these little towns died, yeah. and trains didn't need to stop there anymore. These little towns died off.
That's so interesting too. Like when you're traveling around taking pictures, you pick up a lot of the history too, and you know.
Well, we were just driving up to Ruidoso a couple weeks ago, and we went an alternate route that we usually don't take through.
We went through Moriarty and down through Estancia and Mountaineer, Vaughan, but Corona.
I think it was Corona. It was a school. It was a school that's falling apart, old school, and we same thing. We pulled the car over. We're like, we got to check this out.
Yeah,
like,
this thing was, you know, in the 20s. This school was, it was a great building. You could tell.
It was huge. Yeah.
I had a gym. Had like she said, school buildings, but it, you know, it was not safe to go in and I would have
loved to do some urban exploring, but our neighbor with us. It was like
there's a big hole in the side of this building. And when you look in, you can see this gym just like untouched for decades. It's really cool.
It's crumbling, and it's probably not safe to go inside. But if you could get a really good camera lens in there, you could get some good pictures. And it was just so cool to stop and to be able to, you know, check it out and explore from the outside. It would be really cool to go back with a safer, maybe, mentality.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe wear a hard hat or something.
Yeah, maybe, right?
I've been in some of those buildings in that area. It's sketchy.
Yeah. I'm always like, okay, and rattlesnakes too. You know, there's always like something lurking. It's funny too. I feel like New Mexico, we in some ways have, I don't want to say preserved our history well, but we've held on to a lot of our history. Like, we allow those old buildings to stay. Like, they're just there, and anybody can kind of go see them.
I also wonder too, how much of our history has been gone and just forgotten. You know what I mean? Like, gone from history because, you know, maybe a building's fallen or a community's not there anymore. And it's just, I don't know. It's just,
we have a lot of history that's just kind of out there for discovering.
Well, you can certainly make your lifetime doing that. But it is interesting that these buildings are there. So, I mean, being a New Yorker, you'd never have these old buildings sitting there, and whoever lived there, maybe, you know, 300 feet away, built something new rather than repairing the old one. And, you know, in the Northeast, it would be knocked down and you'd have a Starbucks. And
You'd never know what was there.
Right. So, I mean, you do need to, the history behind these places is pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah.
I did want to ask you too, so, and I know since you're kind of Cloudcroft centric up there, is there something in that area that you love to photograph? Is there a certain default, like when you're going, I don't really want to travel necessarily today, but I want to take some pictures. What do you do? Where do you go?
Yeah, that's a good question. Really nothing specific in that area. I photographed the trestle in Cloudcroft a lot of
times. That's a great spot.
Yeah, it's a great spot. Nothing that keeps me coming back there. And I like to get out and photograph too. I like to travel and have a destination.
We stayed at the hotel there.
The Cloudcroft Inn.
The Cloudcroft Inn. What's it called? It's on the top.
The
lookout. It has
the lodge.
Yes. The lodge at Cloudcroft.
I thought that was really interesting. Cloudcroft is an interesting town to me because, I mean, the first time I visited Cloudcroft was last year, and I'm from New Mexico. I'm from northern New Mexico, so I didn't travel too much in southern, especially not southeastern New Mexico. But Cloudcroft was really interesting to me because we came to Cloudcroft we took the Alamogordo route. Okay. So you go to Alamogordo and it's desert. It's like not like all the other deserts in northern New Mexico. It's even drier and hotter, and there's white sands. And I'm like, okay, well, Cloudcroft is supposed to be, you know, really green and wooded. So we travel up that road from Alamogordo up to Cloudcroft, and there's, you know, you go through a tunnel, which is really cool. You know, there's not a whole lot of tunnels in New Mexico. And you're basically, is there two? Yeah. You're basically going, you know, at this grade that is very steep. So you suddenly find yourself in the top of the mountain, and it's Cloudcroft. And then our hotel, which was
the
temperature dropped 40 degrees going up that.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like in a tank top. I think we got up there and I was like, well, I need a hoodie, a sweatshirt and some pants.
Within the course of 15 miles, it's just like changes. And then this hotel that we were at was the lodge.
Yeah.
And the front desk person's like, yeah, after you check in, here's the key to the tower. Go check it out. And we checked it out. And you could see white sands all the way from there. And I'm like, this is incredible.
And you have like Judy Garland and, oh my gosh.
Clark Gable.
Thank you. With their carvings in the top of the, I mean, who would know that? Like I didn't even know that. And I was like, well, what do you know, New Mexico? Surprising me again.
Yeah.
It's wild. It's just, I feel like we still are the Wild West in so many ways, and you don't really appreciate that until something serendipitous like that happens, and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, there it is. There it is again. Got it.
Right.
It's wild. Now, you had mentioned something, and I want to bring this up, totally not photography related at all. There's a story with a donkey.
Oh.
I have to ask, so. It's a very New Mexican sounding story, so I got to ask.
So, do you guys see My Cousin Vinny ever?
It's been a long time, a little bit,
yeah, but I've seen it, yeah.
You have to go rewatch it. So there's a scene in My Cousin Vinny where Vinny is an attorney, for a mob attorney from Brooklyn, who comes out to get his cousins out of trouble in South Carolina, I think.
Right.
And,
yeah,
right? And, you know, he's from Brooklyn, and was loaned this cabin in the woods to go study the paperwork for the trial and review materials. So the sounds at night in the woods are very different from the sounds at night in Brooklyn or even Princeton, New Jersey.
Yeah.
So you know, Vinny gets freaked out by some sound he hears, and there's a 12-gauge on the wall, and he goes bursting out the door, fires a 12-gauge all over the place, and then they zoom in, and you see this little tiny owl in the tree, right? So we moved out there. Sounds very different at night from Princeton, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And it was a bad year for bears.
Oh.
Now, what does that mean to those of you who don't know what bad year for bear means? The story was they would bring the problem bears out to where we live. So
great.
Was right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
What's a problem bear? Get some people's yards, get some people's garbage, get some the dumpsters in town.
Right.
Right. So, you know, the story is they would move the problem bears out towards where we are. So it's a bad year for bears.
Right.
And, you know, we get out there and the noises are all different, and we'd hear something in the yard. My wife would say, "There's a bear in the yard. There's a bear in the yard." So I'm like, "Oh, there's a bear in the yard. I better go see what's going on out there. I just bought this house and see what's up." So I run out, go stick my nose out, and I don't hear anything. Nothing going on. This is my Cousin Vinny moment.
Yeah.
So this happens for about, you know, 2-3 weeks. My wife keeps waking me up. There's a bear in the yard. Well, it's getting old, right?
Yeah.
Let's get this bear out of here already.
So, at this point, I'm just like, "Honey, there's a bear in the yard." I'm like, "Okay," I roll over and go back to sleep. By the way, anybody listening to this, a good answer to "Honey, there's a bear in the yard" is, "What do you want from me?"
Yeah.
But I didn't know that at the time.
Right.
What do you want me to do about it?
Yeah.
But I didn't know that at the time, just moving here from Princeton, New Jersey. So, you know, one night my wife wakes me up and there's a bear in the yard. I'm getting ready to roll over and go back to sleep. But I hear it's crazy out in the yard. I mean, it really is. Something is happening in the yard. So I sit up and I bolt up and I'm like, "Oh, there's really a bear in the yard. I better go out there." So since we have no neighbors around and it seemed like it was urgent to get out there, I grabbed my Sig 9mm and my 12-inch mag light, and I didn't bother getting dressed since I have no neighbors around.
Yeah.
So I burst out the side of my house naked with my gun and my flashlight.
as
one might do in this situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got outside the side of the house, and then maybe 50 feet away, we've got a big 2-car freestanding garage, and then maybe 15 feet beyond that, we have the shop. And I'm looking out there, and something is definitely going on. There's a lot of ruckus in the yard. And I'm like sneaking up past the garage with the gun and the mag light, naked. And finally I get like halfway in front of the garage, and the noise seems to be on the other side by the shop, and I say to myself, "What are you doing? Like, a month ago, you're shooting for Sony and sleeping in Princeton, and here you are naked with a flashlight and a gun looking for a bear in your yard."
Welcome to New Mexico!
So, and I'm creeping in front of the garage trying to figure out what I got myself into, and my neighbor's donkey, Cookie, comes flying out between the garage and the shop, boom, there goes Cookie. And I came this close to shooting Cookie.
Oh,
night.
No.
Man. Oh, you would have had some angry neighbors.
I would have to move.
Yeah.
And then they would have run me. I've been there for a month. Can you imagine the neighbors?
This guy from New York shows up and shoots our donkey.
Yeah, yeah, New Jersey. He was naked when he did it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But that's such a New Mexico story. I feel like that is so fitting. Like, yeah.
I love that the donkey's name is Cookie, too.
I know.
Yeah.
We have a little turtle in our yard we named Cookie. Yeah, well, I think we still have a turtle. I haven't seen him
lately. He hasn't come out yet.
Turtle's rare here. That's,
yeah. Yeah,
he's a little guy. He,
little box turtle.
Yeah, we trained Cookie, our Cookie, to, he likes cherries, so he'll come to the back door and wait. And then we'll give him a cherry.
Yeah.
And he'll eat it and he'll walk away. And the next day, same thing.
But we have a new dog now. So we're hoping that the new dog doesn't discover Cookie first.
Yeah, Cookie might have to be relocated if that happens. Yeah. So we're, I feel like there's just so many quirky things that happen in this state that would not happen other places. Like, just wouldn't happen other places. For the simple fact that it's very New Mexico. We deal with things differently. You know, we're a very word of mouth community. It's still very old school and that it's like, you know, we just operate on a different level than a lot of other places. Very informal, land of manana, you guys know. It made me think of that time you and I were looking for a house and we went with the realtor and it was down off of Edith somewhere, you know, old, not Turquoise Trail, but,
the Mission?
Camino Real. It was an old neighborhood off of the old Camino Real and then, you know, old adobes and they had redone this adobe house. Beautiful, beautiful house. There's chickens walking around and I'm like, this is pretty cool. I could check this out. And I'm walking around the backyard and there's this big adobe wall. And I'm like, what's on the other side of that wall? I gotta know. So I'm hopping over and it's a cemetery, right? And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, at least we have quiet neighbors if we decide to buy this house, right?
I mean, you hope they're quiet.
You hope they're quiet, right? Can only hope.
Yeah.
And I didn't think much of it. I'm walking back to the house to meet up with the realtor and Lorenzo. And I stub my toe on this rock. And I'm like, well, what is this? And I kind of brush it aside. It's a headstone in the yard. And I'm like, oh. So I go back to the realtor, Jimmy, is there a body in the yard?
and he's like, well.
I don't know. Let me call the seller. So he calls the seller and their response was, well, New Mexico is a non-disclosure state.
Yeah, that was their response. Yeah. They didn't give an answer.
A body in the yard, yeah.
It certainly is.
Yeah,
so that was a no for me. But it was just like a very New Mexico thing. I'm like, oh, go figure. You know, this is just like an old cemetery, and they just moved the line a little the wrong way. There's a body in the yard.
Yeah. I don't know if the line was moved or if it was just a mistake in where they buried, you know.
Who knows? Yeah, I mean, it was like a really old cemetery, so I don't know. But it was just...
These old cemeteries are fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
They're amazing. Yeah. We went up to one in Santa Fe that...
It was Golden, New Mexico. Not Golden. Close to...
Cerrillos.
Yeah. We went to a cemetery in Cerrillos, New Mexico, which was really cool.
Well, and then I think also during COVID, we went to that ghost town by Silver City.
Yeah. Magdalena? No.
Kingston?
I don't remember. Yeah, Kingston.
Kingston.
Oh,
it's awesome up there. Yeah. It's tiny little windy road, you know, you can, one lane road. And it was during COVID, and it was interesting because we were like, we got to get out of the house. We got to go somewhere, do something. This is killing us. Mm-hmm. So we went up there and we went to the cemetery up there and we had noticed that a lot of the people had passed away from Spanish flu. And it was just interesting, the timing, you know, we're going, well, this is interesting, history repeating itself here. But it was a really cool spot. And we probably never would have discovered that had we not been forced out of our bubble during COVID. Yeah.
The state's really full of places like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can just discover something new any day of the week. It's wild.
Right.
I love that about New Mexico.
All right. Well, we can take our real break now. And then we'll be right back.
Merch, short for merchandise. You see it, you need it, you want to show it off, especially if it's showing off your New Mexico pride, right? Well, the What's Up ABQ store has it, and it's ready to put on any space, any face, or any served face. Just slip over to whatsupabq.com and click the merch tab above the podcast player. There you'll discover all the accessories, stickers, clothing, and drinkware with a New Mexico flair that you can ever want. Come on, you don't need that new toothbrush anyway, do you? Pick up some merch now at whatsupabq.com.
Okay, we're back.
We are back, and we are talking photography, New Mexico, exploring, taking pictures, beautiful lighting, all those good things. This is Lindsay. Lorenzo's here with me again. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Chip Greenberg.
Chip Greenberg. So we are here. We're talking about photography. And I wanted to ask you, you've been a lot of places, taken a lot of pictures. Is there anywhere in the state that you haven't been that you really want to go? It's on your bucket list. You're rearing to get there.
Well, actually, yeah, I have not been to the northeast part of the state yet. And there are some interesting towns there, interesting older structures to photograph. So, again, this is a big place, and it's pretty far away. But I will get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Northeast, there's the Capulin Volcano, which I have not been to either. Yeah. But, yeah, that's a great place, I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's so many things to discover and explore. I think, you know, you just got to rediscover your state if you haven't. Make some time,
yeah.
Take a trip, do all the good things. Where can people find your work? If they're interested to find it, where can they look?
So my website is chipshootsfilm.com. We are giving away three of my books, Chasing Serenity, to three of your listeners. You'll be posting a link to that on your
website? Yeah, we'll be posting it in the show notes. And then we're also going to do a social media thing on our Instagram. So if you haven't looked on Instagram, please do that, because we will be promoting it on Instagram and we will be giving one away that way as well.
Doing a book was interesting. I wanted to do a book because it would give a lot more people access to my work. I mean, not everybody always has room for a big print on their walls, and not everybody can afford a fine art photographic print. So I wanted to make something that could, you know, get my work into a lot more hands. And this was my first book. It was a process. I mean, I worked with an excellent layout artist designer to help make sure it was set up properly and laid out properly, and a fun process. I'm actually working on my second book, which is going to be some time out, but kind of an offshoot of photographing the old buildings. I've gotten interested in photographing small town Main Street. Mm-hmm. And small town Main Street's going through some rejuvenation.
Yeah.
There are state funds for it. In fact, Deming, where I was, I said it was last week, they've done a great job with their downtown.
Oh, have they?
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been there in years.
We passed through Carrizozo, and Carrizozo had the same thing. Too. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we saw some of the efforts that they're making to kind of do some, not even redevelopment, it's more just like revitalization of what's there, which is really neat.
So you've been going to these main streets and just...
I've got a list. So I'm working on four projects now. So even though I don't just photograph what catches my eye, with four projects, there's always something I can photograph. And I'm trying to make a conscious effort to get to some of these smaller towns and photograph them so the book doesn't take 10 years to get done.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, even Silver City, that's one of my favorite small towns in New Mexico is Silver City. I think they've done a great job of making their main street and their whole, I don't say their whole thing, but it reminds me of Santa Fe on a, God forgive me, a less pretentious level.
Yeah.
A forgotten Santa Fe, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the artistic vision is there. Yeah. It's a little more maybe grassroots, I think.
Yeah.
Might be the...
Maybe less, a little more bohemian.
There you go. That's the word. See? Less bohemian is good. Better words.
Yeah.
I know. I don't want to offend anybody here.
So the book, what gave you the idea to bring your photography to the book? Was it another book that you had saw from a photographer? Or where did that idea come from? Yeah, inspiration.
Well, I really just wanted to be able to make my images more accessible to more people. It was a fun project to work on.
How did you learn how to put your pictures into the book and the publishing and everything else? Because that's Lindsay just wrote a book. Shout out to Lindsay.
Oh, thank you.
And learning how to do all of that stuff, I think, was difficult.
Formatting is heavy hitting. That is not my favorite thing.
So where did you get the knowledge to do it all?
So I, as a commercial photographer, I've seen this done a lot, right? I mean, I used to do photographs that went into brochures or ads, and they were all laid out in nice type. And I've had a lot of exposure to that, but I did hire a layout artist, graphic artist, to help me set it up and make sure it was all done.
It's well worth it.
Yeah. Properly.
Professionals to do that hard stuff for you. So you were up here in Albuquerque this weekend doing some work. What are you photographing while you're here?
So I photographed Saguaro for my small town Main Street, and I'll probably on the way home stop there again and see if the light looks different. And I spent yesterday afternoon in the biopark.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Which I've never photographed and been to. Yeah.
Yeah, they've just gone through some big changes. So it's nice to kind of see some, again, revitalization happening in our city because it's time.
Love the biopark. Love taking the kids there. The garden is really great. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Good spot. Yeah, it's a really good great. Spot. Have you been out to the Very Large Array? Have you checked that out at all?
I've passed by it. That's on Route 60.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay. But no, I haven't stopped, but I passed by it. I've passed by it and seen it in movies.
Yeah. It's worth the stop. Even if you're not taking pictures, it's worth the stop to just see. It's a really cool spot. Again, it's one of those places you don't really think about, and then you get there and you're like, oh.
It's impressive.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I had another question for you. I wanted to ask you, if there is somebody who is new at photography or they're trying to define themselves artistically as a photographer, what advice would you give them?
So it's a different world now than when I started, right? So, I mean, there's so many resources on the internet. I've got two competing pieces of advice. Okay. The first is you really need to know your technical side because today it's so easy to take pictures without knowing the mechanics of it. And I'm a believer in that you need to know the rules so you know how to break them.
That's good advice. I like that.
So learn how to use the settings on your camera. But there's so many resources out there on the internet. And the other side of that coin is don't worry about it and go out and shoot and see what interests you visually and what you want to talk about when you take photographs.
Right. When you're shooting, I know the camera that you have obviously is going to be filmed. Do you use both mediums of digital and film?
I don't. I tried digital really early on. Honestly, it was probably too early. But I didn't like what I got, and I've shot film my whole life, so I just stuck with film. They have slightly different looks. Yeah. I mean, this is kind of like a painter trying to describe to a non-painter but an art enthusiast the difference between acrylics and oil. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you, but I can just tell you I really love that.
It feels different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Digital and film have different characteristics. I mean, there's one isn't better than the other. There are certain applications where one might be better than the other, but no, the only digital I do is with my phone.
And are there any resources that you think are helpful? Maybe, I don't want to say like workshops, but any kind of resources locally that you might suggest to somebody who just wants to dive a little deeper or explore more?
Oh, there are so many resources. I mean, the Santa Fe Photo Workshops is puts out a tremendous array of courses and very viable. There's a gentleman by the name of Cody Brothers up in Santa Fe who owns a lab, and he shoots film but works with digital people too, and he does workshops, shoots a lot of ghost towns and old abandoned things, and does workshops with things like that. But I watch half a dozen photo blogs just because I want to see what other photographers are doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's just so much free stuff on the internet you can dive into before you spend any money.
Yeah. Is there a community of photographers within the state? Like, is there a convention or do you communicate like in a Facebook group or is there anything like that?
Sure. So there's a very small but dedicated New Mexico Film Photographers group. I usually host a monthly or every other monthly Zoom meeting where we'll get together. But they also, a lot of them are in Albuquerque and get together for coffee and talk about stuff up here. And if anyone wants information on that, you can reach out to me. The Enchanted Lens Photo Club is a very large, well-represented group in the area. And they have great resources. They have teaching resources if you become a member.
Yeah. And if you become interested and curious about shooting film, I mean, digital's everywhere. How do you get into that? Because you can't just go to Walgreens and buy a canister of film anymore, and you can't get it developed really anywhere. And so what routes do, if you're a very amateur person interested in getting into the medium of film photography, what do you do?
Well, so you probably can buy it at Walgreens.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, so
that's how much we know, right?
Yeah.
Films have a little research. Now, what I normally use a different format than 35 millimeter, but you can probably buy 35 millimeter in Walgreens or Walmart or someplace today. Mm-hmm. Picture Perfect will process the film in town and make you digital scans. Mm-hmm. That's how I work. I send my film to a lab. They're not in New Mexico, and they process my film and make me high quality scans, and then I make my prints out of that. So So there are certainly resources. Cameron Darkroom is still, they have got a great supply of film cameras and they sell film. And, you know, art in Cameron Darkroom is a great resource also.
Nice. Yeah, I've been there. That's Knob Hill, right?
Yeah.
They moved.
They might have, yeah.
Since they moved, yeah.
Yeah.
We moved last year, but...
Yeah. I had this Canon camera that we picked up at Goodwill probably about 10 years ago, and I was shooting with it, and it was fun. And I had three that were film, and they all, sadly, our house got broken into, and they were all stolen. But one was a German camera, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was really cool looking. And then the other one was a Japanese brand, and I can't remember that one either. But the third one was a Canon, and so I have experimented with the film, and it's a lot of fun, but it's challenging. It's so challenging because, like you said, learn your settings. So I was messing with aperture and you know, all the different settings, but you don't know how you did until you developed the film. And then, you know, there was probably four or five rolls that I got developed and they were all overexposed or blurry or whatever. So it's, you know, every
journey,
every picture counts. It's not like digital where you can take 1,000 pictures and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did want to ask also, for any amateur photographer, if they want to get their work out there in New Mexico or they want to just have someone look at it, maybe just give some feedback, what would you suggest?
The Chandler Lens Camera Club's great. They do contests, I think, all the time. I'm not a member, but I've been to their website. And then during COVID, they did Zoom meetings and I attended some of those. So that's great. That's a great place to go. I mean, if you're not just starting out, Santa Fe workshops up there, they do portfolio reviews.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Santa Fe has a tremendous photography community.
Do this.
Yeah.
We interviewed Santa Fe workshops on our podcast a couple
of times. Oh, do
you? Yeah, right before, I think it was before COVID, but I knew they did a lot of like art type stuff, but I didn't know they did portfolio reviews. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Nice. I had no idea.
Nice. Well,
did you want to ask the big question?
All right, let's shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
To the big question. New Mexico specific food. So coming from New Jersey, and I'm gonna have a pre question. What were your thoughts coming from New Jersey to New Mexico and experiencing the food? Because I'm very fond of the food. It's a very tight part of our culture, but chili's not for everybody. What was your thought?
So actually, food was one of the things that really made us say this is the place. I'm the cook in the family, and I cook spicy. I didn't cook with green chili, but I cooked with other chilies and lots of garlic. And so generally a green guy. Though when I make enchiladas, I use red.
Now you're speaking his language.
Yep. but no problem. We're fully entrenched in the whole chili thing.
All right. So you already answered the questions partially, but red or green?
I'm gonna say green.
Yeah.
Nice.
Now, if you're gonna go somewhere in the state, or if you've been somewhere in the state that is like maybe the best chili you've had, where is it?
No, I like my cooking.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say mine.
Nice.
Not that I haven't had great chili all over the place. I ate in Tucumcari a few weeks back. I was shooting out there in just some little hole-in-the-wall place. It was late. Photographers miss dinner and breakfast a lot because that's when the light is beautiful, right? So it was like the sun was coming down. It was 7:30 or something, and I went to grab something to eat. And they had great green chili in this little place in Tucumcari. But generally, I like my cooking.
Yeah, right.
That's awesome. No, that's fair. I love that. It's always the hole-in-the-wall places, too, that are like the best. Like the places you've never heard of, but they're on the side of the road and they're in the middle of nowhere, and you're like, yep, this is it.
Yeah.
I complimented them on the green chili. It was really good.
There you go.
You know, there's somebody's grandma back there just making it. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, we appreciate your time, Chip. Thank you so much for spending some time and sharing your work with us. Again, we will link your website, your book. Are there any bookshops that are carrying your book at all, or is it just exclusively online?
No, there's a couple gift shops down in Alamogordo near where I live that have the book. Desert Air Motel is kind of, making themselves into a really interesting, different hotel from what you find in Alamogordo. And they've got my book in their gift shop. And there's another gallery around the corner in New York that does. But mostly my sales have been to people all over the Southwest, off my website.
Definitely. And again, you guys can have a chance to win one of the books by listening, by checking out Instagram, and we will be running a promotion. So keep an eye out, well, keep an ear out, actually, for that.
Yeah. Again, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
It was fun.
All right. We'll talk to you in the next one.
Thanks for listening to What's Up ABQ, the podcast dedicated to the lovers and livelihoods of the Duke City. Now in our seventh season, we bring you the voices of the people in Albuquerque that make this place a great place to live. If you have someone or something that we should know about and feature in an upcoming episode, drop us a line on our website, whatsupabq.com, and please consider leaving us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Thanks for checking in, and don't miss the next episode of What's Up ABQ.